Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Hour number two, jam-packed. We'll get to an NFL no-huddle in just a minute. Lots to get to. Darren Eales, as always, on with Duke Sabel yesterday, as he does on Tuesdays. But also, as always, really good. Just really informative and honest and candid. We'll let you hear a lot of that conversation coming up at 11:20. And then we'll get to the Wendy Zone at 11:40. Every hour featuring Wendy Adams few days, which, I mean, it just should be the way that it is. Maybe we just consider, you know, Brian comes back and he gets to do behind-the-scenes stuff, but knock that ego down a little bit and, you know, take those segments away from him.
Yeah, because he'd be feeling himself too much.
I think that's what we do. Maybe we'll find out how drunk he got and how well he played at golf, and then we'll make the decision going forward. Remember we were talking about what media access is going to look like in this baseball season in the 10 o'clock hour?
Right.
I've gotten some updates from some of our media member colleagues. I won't say who, because apparently this is not official yet, but it sounds as though media are going to be permitted on a game-by-game basis. So I don't think anybody's going to get a full season pass, but media will be permitted on a game-by-game basis at Truist. There will be no in-person interviews after the game. It'll all be conducted via Zoom. So you won't get to be there talking to him or anything like that. Okay. And the kicker, and I think a very savvy move by the Braves, if this is true, to keep media away from the ballpark, there will be no free media dining. There will be no free food. And if you know anything about a media member, if you know anything about a Timmy Tube Socks, they love free food. And they'll go anywhere for it. You know, the Timmy Tube Socks will go cover a press conference in Valdosta if he thinks he's getting some free pizza. So that may discourage some of the media members from going to Truist as well.
I think, have I ever had, like, I know, like, when we got there with the Falcons, I think they brought something in once.
Yeah, they usually have pizza in the media room. Yeah,
but I never, I'm trying to think, I've been to the press box. I remember I was doing the Falcons pregame. I don't think that whole year I went to the press box once. Yeah.
The Falcons.
Everybody say the food was great, but I just never went.
Yeah.
I have had food up there before when I was calling games up there, when I called the games for the Celebration Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to talk about Celebration Bowl food?
What are we talking
about? Good Lord Almighty.
Whew. Go on.
That barbecue and the macaroni. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. I mean, yeah. Mercedes-Benz does it right all the time. Yeah. The Atlanta United food. And look. It's the most obnoxious, one of the most, there's a lot, one of the most obnoxious things that media members do is complain about food. Like, people do that. I guess people have an issue with the State Farm Arena food. I don't know. I always thought it was really good. But, like,
I had that one. It was okay.
To complain about a free meal is just, like,
it was
outrageous.
Cool.
It's the other thing that media members do, and I guess I'm one of them, is complaining about being at games. It's like, oh, I gotta go. That's your job, and it's a game. It's fun. That's why you got into it. Don't lose sight of how cool it is to go to games for free. Complain about anything. Like, it's great.
It ain't even that with me. I just don't like. I don't like to go to games. That's period. I mean,
no, I'm not.
If the boss says, Randy, you have to go, then I'm gonna go. But they don't say I have to go? No.
That's not a direct part of your job. I'm talking about, like, last time, whose job it is to be in the clubhouse every day. It's like, oh, another game. Don't do that. Don't get jaded. But yes, it is a job, and I guess after a while, every job becomes a job. You also get paid to go to the ballpark every
day. That's cool.
Like, come on. Don't.
I get paid to crack open the mic. That's what I get. That's what I get paid for.
And you do as well as anything.
Yeah, I get crack open this mizike.
From the house. At this point, and who knows for how long.
So getting paid to do a radio show, a great radio show in Atlanta from home, and just like some ball shorts and no shirt and no socks and shoes,
no underwear.
Come on, man. Of course not, dude. I put some on the other day. I just felt uncomfortable.
Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool, get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. And let's start with the news of the day in the NFL, and that is potential labor negotiation between the NFLPA and the league itself. It seemed as though the NFL was maybe going to spare us some of this nonsense that baseball, to a certain extent, MLS. MLS did theirs in 36 hours. Remember? There was going to be a strike, and then there was a deadline, and then they got it done, and now they're going to play today. Baseball took a little longer than that. Basketball never seemed to have any money issues, and maybe it was just because it was a season restart instead of a recent start, or a season start. I don't know. Here's Tom Pelissero talking about the NFL is going to need to make this money back somehow.
Because you are going to have a potential revenue loss that could escalate to $4 billion if there are no fans in the stands this season, that needs to be made up. There is a true up in the CBA where you'd have to make up for that on future salary caps starting in 2021. From the union's perspective, they would love to spread that over an 11-year CBA, spread it out until 2030. Obviously, the NFL is thinking about cost savings right now. They have a lot to work through here with players scheduled to begin reporting to training camps in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and what you don't want to see, and what kind of feels like might happen is this 35% salary reduction in escrow proposal seems to me dead on arrival. Like that seems over. They said kick rocks, it's over with. But the retaliation or the ramification of that might be a lowered salary cap next year.
And I mean, that was a possibility anyway.
It was a possibility anyway. Now, I mean, that's how they're sort of rolling it out to the players of if we do this, then maybe we won't have to reduce the salary cap next season. I don't know. It seems like maybe both of those things would have to happen. Like, that's a lot of money to lose. But here's the reality of it. Like, when the league makes more money than they project, the players don't get more money than they were promised. The players get what they get no matter how well or bad the league does.
Correct.
If you just look at the increase in terms of value of the NFL over the last 20 years, the average NFL franchise in 2000, the year 2000, was right around $500 million. The average NFL franchise now is worth $2.8 billion. It's quintupled in value. The average franchise, some of them obviously more than half of them are worth more than that. The average player salary in 2000 was about $1.5 million. The average player salary now is about $2.5 million. That's double. That's not the same rate. Like, the players have not been seeing the same financial benefit. And I'm not saying they're poor. The players are rich. I get it. We're just talking about what's fair. And the players have not seen the same rate of pay increase as the owners have in terms of their revenue that they've been bringing in. If I'm a player, I'm looking at that. And I'm saying, you know what? You got to take a loss for a year. You take a loss for a year. Kick rocks.
Yeah, but the thing with this, they're talking about wanting to spread it over the 11 years. Hell, you want to spread my damn signing bonus over the length of the contract? I mean, you want to spread out. I mean, so, man.
We already do that.
They already do that. But I'm just saying. So, okay, if we give you this, then start giving us all our money up front. When it say 35 fully guaranteed, hand me a check for 35. You know, I mean, dude. I mean, whatever, man. Nobody's studying these owners and what they're trying to do. I mean, okay, you knew that you're going to lose money if there's no fans and all this stuff. We get all that. But don't be coming me crying poor, because you know what? You know what ain't reducing? That TV money ain't reducing.
Right.
You know,
make it up.
That's how you make it up, bro. So, man, miss me with that, dog. Just going all the way over there.
Yeah. And when that's a big part of the...
Go get on your yacht. Go get on your yacht.
Right. If you're sending these proposals from your yacht in the Mediterranean or wherever you are. I don't know. What's the richest body of water to be in? That sounded pretty good.
Probably the Mediterranean.
Yeah. It's so nice. Caribbean somewhere. I don't know. It all sounds pretty good. If you're on a yacht, you're doing okay. Make it up with the broadcast contracts that are about to skyrocket in a couple years. And also, and this is something that doesn't get brought up as much as maybe it should with what's going to happen with NFL revenue, the gambling money that's about to line these people's pockets. Because the CBA was written before that happened. And like, maybe there's some sort of small print and some sort of provision that the players had written in there that they'll get a chunk of the gambling money. But the way that I understood it, it wasn't in there. Nope. And when all that money starts to roll in and the owners don't have to share it, a $2.8 billion franchise is going to be worth, I don't know, $6 billion in the next 10 years. Owning an NFL team is a solid investment. Highly recommend it if you can do it. I don't know that most of us can, but if you can get into the NFL ownership business, it's a
good racket to be in.
Anybody can get in there.
They don't let nobody in. They just don't let anybody in that club, brother. I mean, it's a sacred club of guys. I mean, and we all know that. So, but yeah, I like that phrase, kick rocks. Kick rocks.
It's effective.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so DeSean Jackson apologized yesterday. Let's hear the DeSean Jackson apology, and then we'll get into what maybe needs to happen now, and if you're not familiar with it, what he's actually apologizing for. Here's DeSean Jackson.
I just want to, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because I never want to put any race down or any people down. And, you know, my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm very apologetic. And I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to put any race down or any religion down.
Man, shut the hell up, man. All right, please. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. All right, the apology, okay. And then talking about some uplift. What people you trying to uplift, dog? I mean, it was just so stupid. When I saw this, like, that's what you remember yesterday. I saw it yesterday. I was like, what the hell is he thinking? That was just the dumbest thing ever. And for you to sit there and say that I didn't mean to put, then why the hell did you put it out there? How did you not know that that was going to affect a specific
right.
How did you not know that?
That's a bad apology.
How educated are you on what you put out there?
That's the point. That's the point of it. Is he's just not. He's very clearly like unsure, or not even unsure, like unfamiliar with what it is that he's putting out there. And that's the issue with meme activism. Like trying to be a social media activist, and you just
and not knowing what the hell you're doing,
and not exactly, and not knowing what you're doing. It takes 5 seconds to do a Google search. All right, first of all, make sure the yes. quote that you're posting is even attributed correctly, which it wasn't. Like
it was not exactly.
He posted a Hitler quote that wasn't even said by Hitler. Like, I don't know if that makes it better or worse. Like an actual Hitler quote might have been worse, but don't post false attribution. Like post actual fact. Then don't post something that you think is said by Hitler that ends with the words Hitler was right. That's how the post ended. It said the words Hitler was right. And then in your apology to say it wasn't intended to be disrespectful to any race, especially not the Jewish community. What? In the post it says that Jewish people are trying to extort the United States. It was specifically negative towards the Jewish. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It's not the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but it's just dumb, man. It's dumb. And then you look at now everybody's like, why don't y'all go after him like I went after Drew Brees and all that? Like, dude, why would you put us in that position? I'm not going to defend you because I don't agree with what you did. Yeah. I think it was straight up stupid. And then, you know, with the whole Eagles thing with Riley Cooper, I thought Riley Cooper should have been thrown out of the damn league for what he did. All right, I truly did, because that was so intentional what he said. But I always tell you this, Andy, the locker room is a forgiving place. And if you look at the Philadelphia Eagles and their organization, they are a forgiving organization. They let Mike Vick in there. They let Riley Cooper stay. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to do it this DeSean Jackson thing, because what did I say now? In the times we're in now, that gets you unemployed.
Yeah,
well, anybody for anything. We know that.
If the standard is, and the standard has been set, and we've applied it to other situations, I mean, we can name them individually, or we can just talk about what the standard is, which is ignorance is no excuse.
It's like, not.
It isn't. The ignorance is no excuse. Then saying that you didn't mean it or you didn't know or whatever, like, that's not okay. Now, but the way to me, if I'm dealing with it, like, I don't know what the Eagles are going to do. I don't know if they're going to suspend him. I don't know if they're going to cut him. They might cut him just because they want to cut him anyway. But there are organizations in Philadelphia that have reached out. Jewish organizations in Philadelphia have reached out and offered to work with DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if education is what you're seeking, because some of his other posts were saying, educate yourself, don't believe everything you see, find out the real truth, then you should do that. That should be part of what happens from here. is okay. Go meet with some people and actually learn something.
Which I think he already has.
DeSean Jackson put out there was not smart. It was not well thought of,
and that's why you always. But you look at it as though you didn't actually say it, but you just kind of supported it, didn't you? So that's what I mean. And I've heard from a couple of Jewish players that were talking about, you know, education and all these things and like that. And then they put it back towards the locker room, because we don't do religion in locker rooms. We barely do politics in locker rooms. Now that you do it, it's a lot more out there now, so you see it. But yeah, we didn't talk religion or politics. And now you're at a point where when you're going in this locker room, if the Eagles allow you to come back, this is going to have to be discussed. This is one of those things where you get up in front of the first team meeting and you apologize to your teammate. This is what this is going to come to if the Eagles decide not to move on from DeSean Jackson. He's going to have to go down there. He's going to apologize to his teammates. And the thing with it, they'll forgive him, because that's what we do in the locker room. I can't even say unless you kill somebody, because guys have murdered, have killed people and have been accepted back in, you know. And so, I mean, this ain't good. When I saw it yesterday on the show, I was like, what the hell this fool done did?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm glad we took a day to kind of read about it and find exactly out what was happening and circle back to it today. But yeah, I mean.
Dude, I was pissed off all morning.
There's just certain things. Like, in some mistakes, there's nuance. But then there's just certain things, like Riley Cooper. There's no nuance there. Like, you don't say that. You don't post Hitler was right. Like, there are a certain list of things. I don't know exactly what all is on that list, and can't say them on the radio. But, like, when things are on that list, there's no nuance. That's one of them. So, yeah, I don't know what happens from here, but that was really bad. We'll come back. We'll let you hear what Darren Eales had to say to Dukes and Bell yesterday. Always great to hear from the president of Atlanta United. On the day that the MLS is set to return, there is an MLS game tonight at the MLS is Back tournament in Orlando between Miami and Orlando FC. Obviously, we'll be rooting for Miami. Hopefully they put foots in Orlando. We'll hear what Darren Eales had to say coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. 15 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams joins us at 11:40 every single day. Darren Eales joins Dukes and Bell every single Tuesday, I believe at 3:20. I think sometimes it changes, but usually it's at 3:20 with the president of Atlanta United. And with MLS set to return tonight at 8 o'clock, you've got your first match in the MLS is Back tournament. Darren Eales was on with them yesterday, and Mike started off by asking Darren Eales what it's like in the bubble.
Yeah, it's pretty eerie, to be honest. So, you know, you think about it, two pretty big Disney hotels, the Swan and the Dolphin, and we're the only people on site, Major League Soccer, so it's quite eerie when, you know, you can be walking down corridors and not see anybody. There's the huge check-in lobbies, which are obviously out of action at the moment because we're all sort of contained inside the perimeters of both hotels. And then, you know, to be honest, they've done a good job in putting on bits and pieces, you know, so there's outdoor soccer pool. They've got ping pong tables. So they're just trying to do the best to sort of keep the boredom away. But I've been impressed with what they've done from, you know, facilities, and obviously it's very safe. It's pretty rare, you know, a little bit more now because we've got all the teams on site, but, you know, when you see another team, you're sort of crossing over to the other side of a huge corridor and sort of waving from a distance. So everyone's keeping to the protocol, and, you know, we'll get onto it in terms of FC Dallas, but I think within the bubble it seems to be working and doing its job in not... and there not being any transmissions between teams.
And best as you can possibly determine, Darren, just because I know that you're down there and we obviously don't have the benefit of seeing it up close and personal, but, you know, what is the interaction, you know, between players, you know, when team activities aren't going on? Like, is there intermingling? Are you seeing other teams? Or how far away is that?
No, so we've all got our own floors. And within our own floors, we've all got sort of a team lounge. There's sort of three rooms that they've made up into. One's got a ping pong table, one's sort of got poker set up, one's for video games. So at all times outside your room, everyone's wearing masks. So you can't walk for 6 feet without there being a, you know, sanitizer dispenser. So they've done a good job, and the teams have done a good job from everything I've seen of keeping to that. And really the interaction. So like I said, if you're sort of walking to go to training or to go to testing, you might sort of see some players from a team in the corridor, but everyone, you know, keeps their side of the corridor. So, you know, I think they've done a good job, and it's just clearly the, you know, the issues with a couple of teams that actually brought the virus into the bubble that's caused some issues.
And that's the thing, Darren. We talked about this earlier in the show where we've seen in, you know, in Germany, granted, they're in a different phase of the coronavirus from where we're getting all these hot spots here in parts of America. But it just seems like we've seen it work in other leagues. Is this just a dynamic of just how the coronavirus has sort of ramped up again here in the States? What are the medical experts telling you?
Yeah, I mean, look, so at the moment, FC Dallas have obviously been withdrawn from the tournament. And, you know, their case came from people that got exposed to it before they came to Orlando. And then when they got to Orlando, it obviously, you know, with the testing, it got revealed that, you know, a number of the players, I think in the end it was 10 players, had it across the team. So, you know, that was an example of the bubble doing its job, really, in terms of isolating with the testing. Unfortunately, there hasn't been, or it doesn't appear to have been, any transmission to other teams. But of course, Mike, the problem you've got is out there in the world at the moment, there, particularly here in America, there are high rates just in the national population. So, you know, to be honest, I mean, I know, you know, like I said, credit to the players, they're doing a great job, and the coaches, and they're dealing with it. And, you know, we're fortunate we've had two full training sessions now with everybody training who's come on the trip. Obviously, Joseph's still back when we have him in Atlanta. But, you know, they've been, you know, successful, been working through that with them just hanging out in the hotel room, waiting for the next training session. We're all doing our bit, but again, you know, if this was back in local markets, I think you'd have even more difficulty because here, you know, it is very, very rare. I mean, I've been here now 3 days and I can't even think of an interaction with another employee except for at our food service, which is, you know, as you can imagine, done very carefully behind screens. Gloved, and you hand your plate, they put it on and you get it back. So there is really no sort of interaction with the outside world, whereas you wouldn't be getting that in local markets.
Darren Eales, Atlanta United president, joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline on Dukes and Bell. Willie P. in for Carl Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So just as a point of clarification, Darren, because I know that we had the couple of positive tests, and I know that Frank DeBoer had said one of the players had gone back to training. What is our status right now in terms of the COVID test? I know you can't reveal names, but what is our status right now in terms of our guys' full health as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, so, well, we've got everyone back. So since we had our first training session here Sunday evening, so we've had a Sunday and a Monday evening training session, and we've got everybody back training. So, you know, that's great news. And, again, yesterday we did a bit of an 11v11 scrimmage, and it was good to see, you know, all the lads were getting stuck in, and it was a good feisty game, which you always like to see as you're building up to play a tough team in New York Red Bulls.
It is Darren Eales, guys, president of Atlanta United. I know we're all starved for sports. Can't wait. I was just watching Chelsea and Crystal Palace today. I'm jonesing so bad for the Five Stripes. So I know I was on vacay last week. Just want to pick your brain. Tell me about Jürgen Damm and why you pulled the trigger on that guy.
Yeah, no, so exciting to get Jürgen into the club. So he's someone that, you know, with his experience, I mean, he's been winning a lot of championships with Tigres. I think, you know, he'd be the first to say it's a chance for him to sort of have a new start with a new team, and we're excited. You know, he's a Mexican international. He's super quick, Mike. So, I mean, when they did the test, I think it was about a couple of years ago, it was Gareth Bale, then him. So, you know, I like to collect fast players. I had Gareth with me at Spurs, and now we've got Jürgen. But joking aside, he's really, you know, he's something that we need because, you know, that ball over the top that you can put, that outlet pass in transition with someone with his pace is something I think will add another dimension to us. And we've always spoken about that right from the start with Atlanta United wanting to have a fast team with fast and fluid, and he certainly fits the bill there. So, you know, someone who's got the experience he has in winning championships, the Mexican international, and, you know, for us to be able to get him on a free transfer was something that, you know, we were delighted to be able to get that deal done.
And real quick, I was going to ask him, well, when do we get to see this guy? Because I know, obviously, there's we won't see him in Orlando.
No, but he'll be available as soon as we come back. So, you know, cool. The plan is to return to the local markets and play once the tournament's finished. So, you know, we'll be working in the background to make, you know, try and fast-track the process we need to get the visa to get him in so that you know, he'll be with us ready to start training when we're back from Orlando. And, again, I think the other good thing for him, just quickly on Jürgen as well, he's got perfect English as well as Spanish. So again, for us in with our team, you know, people that are bilingual like that really help as well, I think, in terms of knitting the team together. So, and I don't know if you saw, but he's got some great moves on his TikTok as well. So I think he'll be a breath of fresh air for our social media team.
Yeah, he's definitely a social media superstar, and we're pleased again to be joined by Darren Eales, president of Atlanta United. You guys also made a homegrown signing, somebody who is available for selection in the Orlando tournament. Tell us a little bit more about this kid, Tyler Wolf, forward out of our academy.
Yeah, no, excited to have Tyler as a homegrown. So obviously, you know, his dad is the ex-national team player. He's coach of Austin. He's, you know, they're from Atlanta. And I think it says a lot because, you know, it's really, I think, credit to our academy that, you know, Josh is his father's in Austin, but that he, you know, has allowed his son to sign with, you know, with Atlanta. I think that shows that he has a great sort of confidence that we're going to do the best for Tyler, and it's a great environment for him to be in, and hopefully he's someone that can, you know, get some 13 minutes in the future. I mean, this tournament, Will, is brilliant because, you know, we need everybody, and so he's thrown in the deep end a little bit in terms of training every day with the squad, and he's done really well. And actually, Fernando Mesa was talking in the media a couple of days ago, and I think, you know, he was saying that he liked Tyler as a player, and he was actually surprised how young he is. He's only 17. I think, you know, Fernando thought he was a little bit older than that. So he's a great talent. Like all youngsters, though, the hard work starts now, and, you know, it's not good enough just to have talent. It's about your work rate. It's about, you know, putting in the hard sort of hard training that you need to be able to be ready when that opportunity comes. And, you know, we feel like Tyler, and he comes, you know, with his dad as someone that was a great player and knows what it takes. We feel like he's got the mentality, but he's still going to go out there and prove it.
It's Darren Eales, guys. If you're just joining us, the president of Atlanta United, as Will and I here in town, he's down in the bubble and talking about how, if you missed it, the circumstances about FC Dallas, actually the virus came in from outside the bubble. I guess somebody didn't follow protocols. Darren, what's the attitude? How are the guys' heads? Because we've talked to a lot of players. Guys are, you know, they're cautiously optimistic. I mean, where's everybody's head at? Because obviously that Dallas and then the Nashville situation is kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in a, you know, just speaking for our squad, I think they're in a reasonably good place. I mean, obviously, this isn't easy for anyone, and there's always going to be some concerns, and, you know, I have total sympathy in that regard. I think, though, that, you know, the fact now that we've had two full training sessions under our belt, you know, the players are here, and they've realised that, you know, this is a, you know, this is really as safe as you could practically be, is what we've got here. So I think there's that element of reassurance as we now sort of go through the day-to-day that this is something that actually is safer, and certainly safer than being back in the local markets. So I think that helps. And like anything, you know, we're just now looking forward to starting to play games. I mean, tomorrow night will be great. We'll be able to watch the Miami-Orlando kickoff game, and it'll just feel like it's real then that matches are taking place. And, you know, we've got a huge game on Saturday. It's Red Bulls, who, you know, we know we've got a history from. We've yet to beat them in the regular season. We know they're going to be tough. I mean, what about the first game to play in the Orlando Heat is against a team that, you know, is just going to come out and, you know, press right from the start and try to throttle you before you even begun. So it's mentally, it's going to be a tough one. I think we've got to be sharp right from the kickoff because, you know, we know what's coming for us, and it's, you know, it's tough to play off when it is your first game for what will be sort of 4.5 months because we haven't had a chance to play any friendly matches before this tournament.
Darren Eales, Atlanta United president, be safe in the bubble, and we look forward to seeing you guys play on Saturday.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate it.
Saturday night, right here on Sports Radio 92.9.
Saturday night.
Back in action. Yeah. MLS Saturday. Back in action tonight with Miami and Orlando. Tonight at 8 o'clock.
Orlando.
We made it. We're back. We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams joins us, as she always does, at 11:40. Coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Wellstar, more than healthcare, it's people care. It's the Wendy Zone every day at 11:40 on
Wendy!
The Big Day Show. Hey, Wendy.
Wendy!
She's a little shy today. Her voice is shot from being on 1040. No. Oh, there she is. Guys, hey, Wendy.
That was a user error because I left my phone on mute. Because you never know. Like, I don't want, like, I don't know. There's nothing going on in my apartment. I'm literally sitting on the couch with ESPN on mute. So I don't know. It's just, I guess, in case I make, like, a weird noise or something, I just keep my phone on mute. But I like this talking to you guys every hour.
Yeah, I like talking to you every hour, too.
We like it, too.
It's really fun. What I don't like is that there's not going to be fans in the stands for Major League Baseball season coming up. It's coming up on July 23rd. Well, they've been floating around the idea that they might include some fake crowd noise in an attempt to make the games in empty ballparks feel more authentic. And I just want to get your guys' opinion, because this tweet came out yesterday from Taylor McGregor, and she's over at Wrigley Field. And the Cubs were testing out crowd noise yesterday. And just listen to this and let me know what you think. Does that make the game more authentic to you if you're watching on television?
What the hell was that? It
sounded like a crowd.
Yeah,
to me. I mean, sounded like a crowd.
Completely empty ball field. So if you're watching the game on TV, and I'll send out the tweet at 99 the game if you haven't seen it. Completely empty ballpark, but it sounds like there's fans in there. It's just very bizarre to watch.
Yeah, it is. I've seen the video. It's weird to look at an empty Wrigley Field and have the sound of the crowd behind it.
You know,
it's
what also it sounds been weird.
What does it sound like?
It sounds like, if you ever seen the program, right? Have you seen the program?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember when Darnell Jefferson came into the stadium and then they introduced him and then they had that fake crowd? That's what it looks like. That's what
it
looks like.
That's what it sounds like.
When you go on your recruiting trip to the schools or whatever, and they take you down to the stadium and everything, and they do you have your name on a scoreboard and all that.
That's familiar with that, Randy.
Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, yeah, I didn't get a chance to.
We've all done.
I didn't get a chance to do it because we messed up on my official visit, so I didn't get a chance to do it. But I've taken recruits down there, and that's what usually happens. So it's gonna be weird. But my thing is, when do you play the crowd noise? Because do you only play the crowd noise when the home team has the ball?
Right.
I'm talking about football, particularly football.
Such a good strategy, Randy.
Like, what if the computer that runs the crowd noise has like a 92.9 the game computer issue, and like you go to play it, like Ken, get it queued up real quick, but you know, do it in 92.9 the game computer fashion. Like Matt Ryan throws a touchdown pass to Julio Jones, and they're supposed to get really excited, and they go to play the crowd noise now, but it's silent, and then like 3 seconds later, it hits.
I mean, you know, they are trying to delay, you know, take delay so people won't be cussing. So, I mean, maybe they delay in the crowd noise to make sure it's a touchdown. I don't know.
I've been surprised by how not awkward it seems when they use fake crowd noise on broadcasts. Like, I've watched some of the Bundesliga games, and, you know, they just got chants in the background of, I guess, old games or something like that. And it sounds okay. I thought it would be more awkward to look. You'd see an empty crowd and hear the crowd noise, and you don't really look at the crowd that much, so it kind of does give a feel of what a game would be like. But I also like the idea of everyone remembering the situation that we're in. Like, that a little bit distracts. I like the idea of silence and the crack of the bat and whatever you hear from the players and all that kind of stuff, because like, we're in the middle of one of the weirdest time ever in sports. Like, let's not forget that, you know, like, a silent stadium is indicative of this pandemic. And I think that that's okay. I think it's okay for that to be like a little bit in your mind, maybe in the back of your mind while you're watching a game. I don't have a problem with
that. I don't think. No, Andy, pumping the noise, man. Let's have some fun with it.
You just want to lie to yourself for a couple hours? That's fine.
That's fine. But the thing about it is that the logical person knows that why the sports are not there. Why there are no fans there? I mean, I would hope that you realize that, but like, yeah, throw some noise in there, man.
I just foresee technical difficulties. Like, at some point,
without a doubt, there's going to be that. Without a doubt.
If crowd noise starts to skip, I will be intrigued and more apt to watch, you know, teams other than the Braves play.
Yeah.
Because I just want to see failure. I mean, when equipment fails, it's funny, except for when it happens to me or Brian.
Yeah, but like, when it does happen to us, it doesn't happen every day, but it happens from time to time. Like, I enjoyed, what was I watching? I was watching, like, it happens maybe, you know, once a day or whatever on ESPN, or you're watching CNN or something like that, and they're doing an interview. like there is a little part of me that when the interview fails, it's like, see, at least they have problems too. Because like we had a couple weeks ago where every interview we tried to do on the phone, when Wendy was on vacation, and I think it was Brian's fault probably, but when Wendy was on vacation, every interview we did that week, Wendy was bad.
It was terrible. It was horrible. It was horrible. You're right.
Calls dropped. Like it was crazy. We were like 0-7 that week. And again, I think it was because you weren't here and Brian doesn't know what he's doing. But it's a little funny to see other shows have to deal with that too.
Why are you so petty?
Me?
I'm starting to like this petty Andy.
I want to trash about Brian when he's not here.
Oh, okay. Where's this petty Andy been all this time? I'm starting to like it.
Petty Andy comes out in very specific situations. I get very petty on Fridays at about 12:48 when you're beating me in Sports Jeopardy.
Oh, I mean that's bratty Andy. That's not petty. That's bratty Andy. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know where the line is, but those two seem similar. Right now, I'm jealous, Andy, because Brian's in North Carolina getting hammered playing golf. Like it would be pretty cool. I'd like to be doing that. Like I'm not saying I'm upset to be here with you guys. This is great too, but it wouldn't be bad to be doing what he's doing. So I'm.
Could you do that trip without drinking?
I couldn't. I'd have to sit it out or get the hall pass. Because remember, I was going to be allowed. I was going to get the hall pass.
No.
I was going to be permitted to drink during the bachelor party that I was supposed to go to in April, but it got canceled because everything got shut down. So I would assume if I was going to this, that would be the same rule. But no, if I wasn't drinking, I wouldn't go.
Well, Patrick Mahomes just got paid $503 million in a 10-year contract extension. Now, here is what the quarterback for the Chiefs can now buy with his money. And then I want to ask you guys a question. So here is a list of things that Patrick Mahomes can buy. Arrowhead Stadium is worth an estimated $440 million. So if he wanted to, he could buy the stadium that he played in. He can own nearly 40% of a share of the Buffalo Bills. One of 12 different NHL teams, the Arizona Coyotes being the cheapest at $300 million. Hundreds of thousands of fast food chains, which for me would be a dream come true.
Yeah.
109 years of home game beers for the entire Arrowhead Stadium crowd.
Awesome.
5 million Patrick Mahomes jerseys, if he wanted to own 5 million of his own jerseys. And 83.8 million hot dogs at Arrowhead Stadium are all the items that he could buy. Now, guys, if you were given $503 million, like Patrick Mahomes, you could only buy one thing. What are you buying?
Golf course.
Liverpool!
I don't know how much. You could buy part of Liverpool. You can't buy the whole thing for $500 million, but you could buy part of it, though.
I know.
One thing.
I'd buy a golf course. And I would just, that's what I would just do. I'd just play. I'd like Michael Jordan did. He started his own country club.
I buy me a yacht. I buy me a yacht for the Mediterranean and just move there. And if daughter don't want to come, you know what? You can have the house. You damn sure can have the kids. I'd just be on I'd be in my damn yacht chilling.
Okay. I think she'd want to come.
Yes. We got this plan already laid out, man. Once the last one, I'm talking about once, you know, when we drop Samson off to college, like we going straight from the college to the airport to our destination. Like we ain't saying bye, we out.
What's perfect is him going to college links up exactly with us doing this show for 15 years.
Yes. As soon as I'm talking about Andy's, I ain't even saying bye to y'all. Yeah, because you know, if I have it my way, I'll be working from home for the next, you know, whatever. So I ain't even, so like at 9:55 that next day, we supposed to turn on. Y'all is ready? I ain't even telling y'all bye. Randy gonna be all the way to the airport, and me and my lovely wife, we going to our destination. I think I want to live like Swish Family Robinson. You know what I mean? I want me a fancy treehouse and everything, but with a t-shirt at the bottom, t-shirt stand at the bottom. Yeah.
That sounds awesome, man. Who are you going to sell t-shirts to, man? Swiss Family Robinson was on an abandoned island.
I don't know, Andy. Why you got to do that? I'm not saying I want to live on an abandoned island. I want to have a treehouse like that in damn Jamaica.
Okay,
or somewhere. All right.
I just don't want you to go. I'll miss you. The 3.5 months, at least I got to see you on Friday.
Yeah, but no, as soon as Samson the car might not even be stopped. I'm gonna be throwing out plastic made containers and everything. Come on, son, baby, let go.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the noon hour. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.